Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
From WNYC in New York, this is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. There are certain people, possibly even people I'm married to whom I would never ever say, "Your roots are showing." Mainly because I kind of like having my head still attached to my neck. But there are other people for whom that would actually be a compliment. I think the band called The Head and the Heart might be a good example. They're a folk pop band from Seattle, and their roots in Americana, in old-time folk song, do show through to good effect. Head and the Heart will be playing for us later on Soundcheck. There are also some filmmakers who seem to have deep musical roots, and I'm thinking of one in particular. Oscar-winning director Jonathan Demme may still be associated with his feature films like Silence of the Lambs and Philadelphia, but music fans, well, we know he's one of us. After all, he did the great Talking Heads concert film Stop Making Sense and a trio of Neil Young documentaries. Now he's turned his lens on a musician most people have never heard of. Enzo Avitabile uses traditional southern Italian rhythms and instruments, many of which double as farming implements, as the basis for his own brand of world music, and he is the subject of Jonathan Demme's new film called simply Enzo Avitabile, Music Life. Jonathan, welcome.
Thank you very much.
Now, Enzo Avitabile is an unusual choice. I mean, Talking Heads, Neil Young, these are acts with big fan bases. What drove you to this obscure Italian musician?
Well, in a way, John, it's all your fault. I was driving home one night. New Sounds came on. It was New Sounds from Naples. And You led off with Enzo Avitabile. I'd never heard of him. And I became obsessed with his music immediately.
So what was it? I mean, you hear lots of music. Something about his music reached out and grabbed you. What was that?
Yeah. Well, I think the extraordinary musical tapestry, for starters, right in my comfort zone. Just all the tremendous rhythm, all this other stuff going on. And Enzo's voice, I didn't know what he was singing about, but I loved the feeling, not just the quality of the signal, but the feeling behind the voice really spoke to me. And it was interesting a couple of years later to discover what he's singing about.
Which
and no
is,
wonder it's moving.
But, which is what, in essence?
The human condition, the plight of children all over the world, the desperate need for peace. He's just a shameless humanist who manages to make it all very palatable and profound sometimes.
And in fact, the first kind of major performance that we see in the film is Enzo Avitabile with Eliades Ochoa,
yes.
Great Cuban singer. And the kind of repeating line that he sings here is, "Nobody is nobody's child." Sotto da Bucarest, sniffano collare in debusta, bagatati invece ancora un coppe mura, stanno azzeccate e schizzano e cire guagliù, l'indin di favela stutta la pazzata, stelle sgravigliate luna ma bucciata, persi che ne venire mamma africana, sporca chi ne fa ma non arrivano a di mano, e tutte quelle son che creature, nessuna è figlia e nessuna, ma tutte nate dall'amore, si sa come si nasce ma non sa come si muore. Tutte quelle son che creature, nessuna è figlia di sciù, di sciù.
Il llanto di un niño mi entristece, non puedo verle llorar. Il llanto di un niño mi entristece. No
That is Eliades Ochoa of Cuba singing and playing a sort of guitar-like instrument with Enzo Avitabile, who is the subject of Jonathan Demme's new film called Enzo Avitabile, Music Life. Enzo, in this song, Jonathan, is playing what looks like the world's tiniest guitar. Except he's holding it like a lyre. Mm-hmm. What is that?
It is, it's an arpeta, and it's the smallest harp in the world. Hmm. It's Enzo reaching deep, way back in time to resurrect an instrument which he kind of personally designed. The one he's playing is his creation.
Hmm.
He gets a lot out of that little thing, doesn't
yeah.
he?
Yeah. So he's got Eliades Ochoa from Cuba here. Elsewhere, you were there for a week, you said, right?
Yes.
So during the course of this week, he's bringing in some incredible musicians, some of the big names in world music from Armenia, Pakistan, Mauritania, Iraq, Spain.
India.
Did he set this up?
Yes. Yes, this was his choice. It was when we had this kind of like sort of clean slate, we could do whatever we wanted. And I said, let's try to find your Naples, the one the tourists don't get to see. Let's try to meet the Neapolitan people. And he said, well, would you like me to fly in some musicians to play with? And he sent me this list, and I think I was supposed to choose three or something. And I said, bring them all in. And it was extraordinary because we didn't know what anything was going to sound like. There were no rehearsals. We were just there ready to try to capture as best we could. Whatever magic happened, it was really exciting.
How well known is he in Naples and in Italy in general?
He's very well known in Naples. I think he's very much a favored son. Throughout the country, less so. There are pockets of people outside his hometown loving. How did you, if I may ask, come across Enzo?
Because his record came across my desk, the way I find all that kind of stuff. But there's a really striking scene in your film where you're in Naples and Enzo comes across an old man doing his exercises and they introduce themselves to each other. And the old man says, your avant-garde music is spectacular. And I just thought, avant-garde? This guy is like going back centuries to like mine the ancient rhythms and rituals of Italy.
Yeah, Enzo's reaching deep into ancient rhythms and instruments, but now he's applying them in a what we call world music way, mm-hmm. which is quite avant-garde. It's an extraordinary collision of world music and traditional music of all sorts.
The film is called Enzo Avitabile, Music Life. My guest Jonathan Demme did the film just about a year ago. It opens here in New York at Lincoln Plaza and the Angelica Theater on Friday, this Friday, October 18th, then in L.A. and other locations on the 25th. We both first fell in love, Jonathan, with his Botari stuff. This mm-hmm. is those. That's the South Italian rhythms using like farming, like barrels and scythes
yes.
as percussion instruments. He mentions it in passing a couple of times in the film. We don't really see a lot of that, although there's this Black Madonna song that he does that comes close. And this is, well, let's listen. This is from the film, Enzo Avitabile, Music Life.
Madonna ner, Madonna ner, Prianna lusone gisto tambur, Prianna, Prianna sole mai sur, Prianna, Prianna sole mai sur. Sulla mai sul, sebe sebe, a fanu vuta per una ferita, per una ferita che sa da sanare. E buona guerra, buona caresti, e mo sorriebbe da mo e poco un dri. E mo è paura tua, e mo è paura mia. Mamma schiavone, turca e marrucchi, nera figlia guerra.
That is Enzo Avitabile, the Italian singer, sax player, songwriter, composer. The subject of the new documentary by my guest Jonathan Demme. And that's a song to the Black Madonna, which is this kind of ancient sort of Earth Mother tradition with a thin veneer of Christianity laid over the top. So that's deeply rooted stuff too.
Definitely. Enzo was inspired by the profound influence of church music on African-American music. And he was a sideman for James Brown and Richie Havens and various amazing people.
There's
Tina
photos
Turner.
Of him with Africa Bambaataa and James Brown.
And I think this notion of drawing deeply from your kind of religious past and kind of channeling the spirituality and power there into a more modern idiom resulted in this great song. And that's kind of what Enzo is all about, this whole, and all these musicians, they believe very much that humanity is best expressed by ignoring borders.
But he also walks a fine line between ignoring borders and being aware of where he comes from. And, you know, some of the film is about you following Enzo out of Naples proper and back to his hometown, this original village.
Mm.
And I wanted to ask you about how this movie was made, because it's real cinema verite. You know, there's this old woman who says to Enzo, what are you doing here? And he says, a film.
I know.
I mean, you're kind of breaking the fourth wall there, huh?
Yeah. Well, it was very exciting. I was working with two fantastic cameramen, a wonderful Italian cameraman, and Charlie Libin from Brooklyn came over. And these guys can just capture whatever's going on. They've got great eyes, great energy. They love music. They can feel what's going to happen next. And it was great to go down there to Marianella, and I felt like we had entered kind of a great kind of Fellini movie from the 50s or something. The quote-unquote characters, i.e. the real people of Marianella, were so fantastic and so charming, so ready to improvise for us.
And one older woman is almost bumping into the camera as the camera is shooting. I mean, it's just full of little home movie touches like that. It was really kind of unusual and interesting to see. In a later song in the film where he's playing with Dabi Touré from Mauritania, you actually see the second cameraman getting into position next to Dabi Touré as he's playing the guitar, and then sure enough, we cut to that shot. Were you intentionally sort of making the process a part of the film?
Well, I felt that we should be completely open to letting the process become part of the film. That, you know, you can put a lot of energy into trying to tailor your shots to exclude the other camera or the sound person. And it's not as though the viewer doesn't know that they were filming there.
Right.
So, and I like that too, because I think it kind of like, I think there's something very beautiful about filming music. These two different persuasions coming together always really thrills me. So to visualize that a little bit, I thought that would be quite nice, because we're now collaborating with the musicians. We're trying as best we can to capture exactly what it is they're going for.
Right. It's a neat moment in the film. Again, the film is Enzo Avitabile, Music Life, by my guest Jonathan Demme. And this is the song that Enzo Avitabile does with Dabi Touré from Mauritania.
E la confonne nav, arrugginisce e cade, e valigi go spav, e paura raie. Canco e molula, toroia e moluca, nelle lene munea. Gianca e moluca, toroia e moluca, in la menina e munutila. Ale e menisere ne dene dene dene, tu ya mane mane. Rindas tu frita che fa, o vienda che bene, o vienda che fa, mano in mano, sotto nucella zulu, o vienda per sempre, o vienda mai più, becca lo cumulo l'endela, a chi l'inti che l'endi, becca lo, becca lo. Kelendi, kelendi, kelendi.
That is Dabi Touré of Mauritania playing the guitar and singing with Italy's Enzo Avitabile. That is from Jonathan Demme's film, Enzo Avitabile, Music Life. The film opens here in New York at Lincoln Plaza and the Angelica Theater on Friday, October 18th, then in L.A. and other spots on the 25th. Enzo is a lot of fun to watch, and the music is terrific. Will there be a soundtrack to this?
I'm sure, inevitably, yes. Okay. Yes, I think that it'll probably come out in Italy first, but there will be.
Now, about a year ago, the actor John Turturro did a film about music in Naples, which he called Passione.
Yes.
And one of the things that surprised me about that film, and which is echoed in your film, is how much Mount Vesuvius still looms so large to the Neapolitan people.
Mm-hmm.
Did that surprise you?
Well, I didn't have time to be surprised by that, because from the moment you arrive in Naples, there it is, Mount Vesuvius. You can't escape it. And you find yourself looking for it all the time. I mean, just like, well, my generation, I grew up watching movies about the lava flowing down. Mm. And so it's just indelible. And of course, Enzo's song about the eruption of Vesuvius. Who would have thought that could be such a gripping song? I think the lyrics come from the diary of someone.
It's Pliny the Younger,
yes.
I think, talking about Pliny the Elder's experience of the eruption of Mount Vesuvius.
Right. Well, you know about Pliny the Elder?
I took Latin in high school.
Wow.
I did my time with the Plinys, elder and younger.
Very impressive.
But I've spent a lot of time in more recent years listening to people like Hossein Alizadeh from Iran and the great Armenian duduk player Jivan Gasparian, both of whom are on this song with Enzo Avitabile. Once again, from the film Enzo Avitabile, Music Life.
A preparate una liburna, che stia lettere un'amica, per chi stia casa là, a nav, l'unica via. Non vola yank, non vola spor, non vola terra, che non bussa por, non vola pre, non vola fuoco, non vola cenere.
Enzo Avitabile with a plethora of great world music guests and a song about Mount Vesuvius from Jonathan Demme's film called Enzo Avitabile, Music Life. We'll continue our conversation with Jonathan Demme and talk a bit more broadly about how he has used music in his career. This is Soundcheck.
Roppa magnate vipeta Gabi cuscina ngoppe ma Lo cielo ne tut.
A reminder that Jonathan Demme's film Enzo Avitabile, Music Life, opens in New York on Friday at the Angelica and at Lincoln Plaza. Later on the show, we've got live music from the folk pop band known as The Head and the Heart. They are definitely worth sticking around for. That's later on Soundcheck.
Nuvole terra, can un bussa bo.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. We're back with filmmaker Jonathan Demme. His latest work is a documentary about the Italian musician Enzo Avitabile, but his obsession with music goes way back. He directed the music video for this song by New Order back in 1985. And a year before that, he released the groundbreaking concert movie Stop Making Sense, starring the band Talking Heads. Jonathan, do you mind me using the word obsession? I mean, are you obsessed with music?
I guess I am. I think you know, many of us are, and I'm one of them.
Now, when you say many of us, do you mean many filmmakers or?
No, I think many. I feel like we are so from our earliest days, we're just subjected to so much music, and I think many of us are obsessed with music, but we don't really know it.
Mm.
You know it because you do a show about it and you live it and I have
met kindred spirits in directors who are very attuned to the sound of their movies as you know, in addition to the sight, the visuals. Are you a musician yourself?
No. I'm one of those without people to listen to musicians, there'd be no point in making music. I never got that together.
Yeah.
My son's a terrific guitar player and a drummer, but no.
All right. But do you like working with musicians?
Oh, yeah. I love it. I love it because I'm an enthusiastic worker. And when I find myself around musicians whose work I love, I think I kind of become part of the band for a minute.
Well, you've actually cast, I mean, Robin Hitchcock is in your movie, The Manchurian Candidate.
Yes.
Not a huge role, but it's a crucial role, and he's great in it.
Well, he's an amazing guy.
Did you cast that?
Yeah, for sure. Well, I did a performance film with Robin called Storefront Hitchcock, and we became friends. And Robin loves movies. He's very cinematic. But also in Rachel Getting Married, he's one of the guests at the wedding, and he performs a couple of songs. One of them backed up, by the way. My son is backing him up on guitar while Robin's singing and playing, along with other musicians.
It's good to be the king.
Oh, man, it's exciting. It's exciting. It has its moments.
Now, let me ask you about Stop Making Sense. I mean, that was a watershed moment for you, but also for the idea of concert films in general. I mean, did you go into it thinking, I am going to change the way people think about concert movies?
You know, my dear old buddy Gary Getzman and I went to see the show. We weren't thinking anything about movies. And as that show unfolded, I felt I could see that this was a movie waiting to be filmed. All the work that David had put into this kind
David
of narrative.
Byrne, yeah.
Yeah. And the sense of character that was present in him, this visualization of this community of players, men, women, black, white, everything. The lighting, so exquisite, and just like, wow, it's a movie waiting to be filmed. So we contacted David Byrne, and the next thing we knew, we got the money to shoot it from Warner Records. And no, it was just like, you know, we were trying to capture the magic. We had extraordinary shooters. And we had the great Jordan Cronenweth as the director of photography. And it's just really kind of an amazing crew turned up to capture that moment.
It's interesting you use the word community talking about the show. You know, it was the Talking Heads plus a cast of hundreds. Because that community builds over the course of the show and therefore the film. It actually begins with David Byrne out on stage by himself with a boombox.
Can't seem to face up to the facts. I'm tense and nervous, can't relax. Can't sleep, bed's on fire. Don't touch me, I'm a real live wire. Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est? Run, 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 run away. Oh, 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 oh. Ay, 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 ay. You start a conversation, you can't even finish it. You're not saying anything. When I have nothing to say, my lips are sealed. Say something once, why say it again? Psycho killer, qu'est-ce que c'est?
From the movie Stop Making Sense, starring the band Talking Heads, that's Psycho Killer, David Byrne with guitar and boombox. The film by Jonathan Demme, made back in 1984, will be followed by a bunch of other documentaries, many of them music-related, and of course the feature films. Jonathan, do you use music differently in feature films? I mean, has it ever happened that a scene or a set of directions has come to you from listening to a song?
I know that there's been times when we made Something Wild. Susanna Parikh, who's the great, great music editor that I work with on all films, we decided that it would be exciting and challenging to try to score the whole movie with source cues, with previously existing songs. And we thought we could tell the story through the different idioms that come into play. And that dovetailed into the live performance. So, of course, we've got the great honor of having the Feelies play our high school reunion.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really when the Feelies show up on stage is also when Ray shows up, played by Ray Liotta. And now the music in the film shifts from reggae and Afrocentric music with its warmth and generosity to electric guitar. It takes over now in the movie as the film turns dark.
Right. So the music is actually an emotional signpost as well for a change in
Definitely.
The complexion of the film.
Yeah. And also we would always waste a take by playing a song for Jeff Daniels and Melanie Griffith.
So you wanted the actors to know what it was going to sound like in addition to what
yes.
it was going to look
yeah.
like.
Mm-hmm. Because the music, you know, when you hear music, it affects your mood, it affects your behavior and your attitude. So they were able to like, okay, they knew exactly how to play the scene because this music was washing over them.
Well, I remember the first time I saw Silence of the Lambs, the thing that struck me, I mean, with all due respect to the acting, which is fine, and, you know, the cinematography is great and stuff, was the songs.
Mm.
I mean, bands like Savage Republic, who I thought, well, nobody knows this band. What are they doing? I can clearly hear them in the background there. I mean, extraordinary use of music, and especially with, you know, the evildoer,
mm.
you know, in his lair, in his home. You hear this stuff, and it is kind of an emotional signpost. How did you have that music in mind before shooting, or did you go and find it afterwards?
I think in that case, we Susanna and I searched for that stuff. And it's true, there's that kind of like that exquisite anxiety that's produced by bands like Savage Republic or The Fall.
Mm-hmm.
And this becomes another way for us to heighten just the viewer's anxiety, hopefully, by we're on top of this dire situation. Here's the music that we're
right. But here's the great part about Silence of the Lambs is that perhaps the most anxious moment in the film is set to one of the big pop hits of the day when the girl is driving down the road and she's singing along to this song by Tom Petty. Yes, Tom Petty's American Girl, about as sunny a piece of music, Jonathan Demme, as you could have picked.
Well,
but you just know something bad has got to happen.
Well, there were two things about it. Brooke Smith played that part so wonderfully. And here's a character who, within 1 minute of meeting her, she's plunged into horrendous circumstances. So my feeling was we have, like, this tiny window to show her vibrancy and her upside. And that song really spoke to me.
Mm-hmm.
And Tom Petty refused our request. I went back to him. He refused it again. It was a blanket refusal. At that time, he wasn't permitting any of his songs to be in movies. And the time was coming close for us to shoot the scene. And, of course, Brooke lip-syncs to the song, as we all do as we drive around town. And we went back a
Some
third...
Some of us do more than lip-sync. Some of us are actually belting while we drive. I don't know about you, Jonathan.
No, you're absolutely right. Yes. She comes in on the chorus, actually. There. But finally, on a third time, he relented and let us have it. I think we probably sent him the script and told him the context and all that kind of thing. I didn't speak to him directly, but this would have all been through his folks.
We're speaking with Jonathan Demme on Soundcheck. His new movie is the documentary we were talking about earlier on the show. It's called Enzo Avitabile, Music Life, opening on Friday here in New York at the Angelica and at Lincoln Plaza. The idea that Tom Petty had just made a blanket refusal to have his music used in films, you wouldn't have that today. I mean, today, film placement is like what everybody is shooting for when
mm-hmm.
they make a record, when they make a song. You know, every film seems to now have a music consultant on board. It's
just
become such an important part of making and marketing a film. Do you see that as a good thing?
Sure. I mean, it's again, the song by song, it's a tool that the filmmakers can use to heighten the involvement of the viewer if they're making the right choices. And it can be great for the artist. One of the things that I like to do now that I'm sort of like, especially on a lower budget movie like Rachel Getting Married, is to say, you know, we need 20 songs and we can afford $500 a song. And we go to Brooklyn, and it's kind of like it's a nice gateway. I think it's probably good on a band, a hardworking band trying to achieve a niche. They can put that on their resume. They're in a movie.
Right. And do you do that, or do you have a music consultant?
Yeah, music consultants do that. Yeah.
Well, then let me be your music consultant for a moment here. Last year, in the wake of Hurricane Sandy, we did a soundcheck program about songs that got people through tough times, whether it was the storm or whatever. And we talked on the phone then, and you mentioned Robert Wyatt,
yes,
the English singer, doing a version of that old Chic song.
At Last I Am Free.
At Last I Am Free, thank you. And when you mentioned Robert Wyatt, I asked you, well, have you heard the Unthanks sing Robert Wyatt? And you had not heard of the Unthanks. So I want to play for you these sisters from Newcastle, England, Rachel and Becky Unthank. This was recorded live in some English church, and it's their version of Robert Wyatt's Sea Song. The Unthanks, Rachel and Becky Unthank and their band, and a version of Robert Wyatt's Sea Song from a live album called Diversions. Jonathan Demme, what do you think?
That's extraordinary.
The harmonies are...
Oh, yeah. And just, well, the whole tapestry is amazing. And it's incredible how it's the same song, and they do it, I think, brilliantly one way. Robert Wyatt does it brilliantly a whole other way.
Right.
Wow.
Well, that is the beauty of music is, you know, it's a malleable thing. And you, throughout your career, have taken pieces and have sort of molded them to fit your needs as a filmmaker. In the case of the music documentaries, the music is already molded. And I guess that's a different thing, right? You have to mold the film to fit the music. That was sort of what you were talking about with Stop Making Sense.
Well, what we do is we have to capture as best we can on behalf of potential viewers what's going on in their life, because the greatest music movie in the world can't compete with live music. There's nothing like being in the room, I think, with someone actually doing it. So
who has blown your mind lately that you've seen live?
Oh, well, I came into New York and saw Gary Clark Jr.,
who, the blues guitarist.
Yeah, and I'm ashamed to say I was not aware of him. And a friend of mine called me up a couple of weeks ago and said, you are going to come with me to hear this guy play. And I was like, okay, hadn't been out for a while. And he just devastated me. What a great, great player. Amazing.
All right. So Gary Clark Jr. doing it for Jonathan Demme. But so does Enzo Avitabile, the Italian musician, subject of the new documentary Enzo Avitabile Music Life, opening Friday, October 18th in New York at the Angelica and at Lincoln Plaza, then in L.A. and other theaters on October 25th. J.D., always great to talk to you. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, John. What a treat. Thank you so much.
Jonathan Demme on Soundcheck.
I'll be ready when my train pulls in. I know my time is long and I can't live this life again.
Coming up, The Head and the Heart is set to release the follow-up to an acclaimed debut. Before the album comes out tomorrow, they'll join us in the Soundcheck studio. That's next.
Bathed you over by the wasting world.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. The Seattle band called The Head and the Heart independently released their self-titled debut back in 2009. Since then, they've been signed to Sub Pop Records, the Seattle label behind bands like Nirvana and Mudhoney and the Postal Service. And they've toured relentlessly with groups like Iron and Wine and Dave Matthews. Now they're releasing a follow-up to their first record. It's called Let's Be Still. And we're going to hear some of it live in the Soundcheck studio today. Beginning with the song Shake, here is The Head and the Heart.
Well, the ink in my pen ran dry long before your smile. And the pages have always been blank like the trees in the wild. But the wind, yes, the wind keeps pushing you and me. Time in, time out, know when it's time to leave. Well, the memories we made will never.
That is The Head and the Heart from Seattle, here in our New York studio on Soundcheck with a song called Shake, which you will find on their latest album called Let's Be Still. John Russell singing and playing guitar. Charity Rose Thielen, not called upon to play the violin just yet, but singing. Kenny Hensley at our piano, Chris Zashi playing the bass, Tyler Williams behind the drums, and Charity, there's another singer in the band who's not with us today.
Yeah, Josiah Johnson.
So is it, John, kind of a, I mean, if there's a sophomore slump, it seems like it's often caused by, you know, you have a first record, you play the songs for a long time, you work them out, you do your first record, and then the record company's like, you need a second record, and, you know, you don't have that luxury of having 3 or 4 years. You guys have waited 3 or 4 years to do your second record. Has the process been noticeably different this time around?
Not really, actually. I've been writing the same way as I've been writing before this happened. We, like you said, we had 3 or 4 years to write this record. And it's not like you spend your actual entire life writing your first record, you know?
Right, right.
Probably spent less time writing the first record. So, it actually doesn't. We're really lucky to be on a label who doesn't pressure you in the ways of, I think, those horror stories that you hear of, like, the pressure of the second record. I think the only pressure that was on us was pressure that we put on ourselves.
Well, I mentioned earlier that, you know, you've been signed to Sub Pop for a while. You put out the debut album in 2009, then they reissued it in 2011. Mm-hmm. And now they're putting out Let's Be Still, the new record. In terms of the songs themselves, I mean, Charity, have these been road tested? You guys have been doing a lot of touring. Have you sort of been working through these live?
There's been a couple, like Gone and Josh McBride, that we've kind of been playing in sets for probably at least a year now. Mm-hmm. But there were some that we, you know, kind of wrote and arranged in the studio, and we've only played probably, I'd say, 2/3 of the new album in different times of the latest tours.
The band is The Head and the Heart. They're playing here in New York on Tuesday, November 5th at Terminal 5, and on Wednesday, November 6th at Webster Hall in support of the new album called Let's Be Still. John, I had heard that, you know, at least at some point, the band members all live together in, like, one house there in Seattle. Is that?
You've been lied to. four of us lived together. Kenny, Tyler, and Josiah and myself all lived in Josiah's apartment. Mm-hmm. It was a 2-bedroom. So you can do the math. I think Kenny and Josiah had basically a room that was just like a bed. They both had mattresses on the floor, so you'd walk in, the door would like hit one mattress, and you'd have to like squeeze into this just like what looked like an opium den, you know?
Rock and roll.
And then Tyler somehow had his own bedroom, which I don't understand.
Paid for it.
Oh, that's right. He had 2 jobs, and he could actually pay for it. I slept on a couch, futon, totally different, in the living room, which was connected to the kitchen. So I had the biggest room in the house. And
Yeah. Please tell me the living arrangements are different now.
They are.
Everyone has their own
space. Yeah, now
space.
We all live together.
It just
no,
keeps
definitely
getting
not.
So the album's called Let's Be Still. After, you know, so much touring in the past couple of years, is that what you guys are looking for, is a place to be still?
I think I was when I wrote that song for a day, but, you know... It was more so, I don't know, you just, from touring, you know, all over the country and in different countries, you just kind of feel this, you feel that, like, motion that's in almost every single city, that pulse that, you know, is exciting and nice to have, but at the same time can be completely overwhelming, and you just feel like you get swept away of it. And so from feeling that, as well as feeling it so directly from touring, it was just sort of, I think we had a day off one time. Once, and we were by a pool, and it just like those. It was just I don't know. I feel like this should go into a country song, right? By water, but it's. I forget now exactly what your question was, but it's
just yeah, you know, the whole the search for a still point, a
yeah,
still place.
Yeah, and I think we finally found it. We had 6 months off and got to do our own thing, go camping by water, and
all right. But now there's
now
there's another record and another round of touring to come, and the band, The Head and the Heart, are here with us in the Soundcheck studio. You want to do another story?
Yes.
All right, another live performance. The song is called Another Story. The album's called Let's Be Still from The Head and the Heart.
myself, are we just like hungry wolves howling in the night? I don't want no music tonight. Just flames burning in your fireplace. I hear your voice, and it seems as if it was all a dream. I wish it was all a dream. Tell you one thing, we ain't gonna change much. The sun still rises, even with the pain. I tell you one thing, we ain't gonna change love. The sun still rises, even through the rain.
The Head and the Heart is the name of the band out of Seattle, here in our New York studio, live on Soundcheck with Another Story. That's from their new album called Let's Be Still. The Head and the Heart playing here in New York in November, twice, on Tuesday the 5th at Terminal 5 and on Wednesday the 6th at Webster Hall, but they're here with us today, so let's have them play another song. This one's the title track from the album Let's Be Still, live on Soundcheck.
You can get lost in the music for hours, honey. You can get lost in a room. We could play music for hours and hours, but the sun will still be coming up soon. The world's just spinning a little too fast. If things don't slow down soon, we might not last.
So just for a moment, let's be still. You can get lost in the music for hours, and you can get lost in a room. We can play music for hours and hours, but the sun will still be coming up soon. The world's just the giving of everyone's fears. The days turn into months, the months turn into years. Just for a moment, let's be still. Circles in my mind. So just for a moment, just for one moment, just for a moment, let's be still. Just for a moment, let's be still. Just for a moment, let's be still. Seeing so clearly, ain't no time for me. No, the world's just spinning a little too fast. If things don't slow down soon, we might not last. The world's not forgiving of everyone's fears. The days turn into months, the months turn into years. So just for a moment, let's be still. 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 Just for a moment, let's be still.
Very nice. The head and the heart. John Russell singing, playing guitar. Charity Rose Thielen doing the other vocals. The rest of the guys sitting that one out. Title track from the new record, Let's Be Still. And this has you guys back out on the road and coming to New York on November 5th at Terminal 5, November 6th at Webster Hall. But the head and the heart have been here playing for us in the Soundcheck studio today. And guys, it's been great fun having you here. Thanks very much.
Thanks for having
us. Thank you so much.
Over the years, we've been visited by a number of pretty good whistlers. Andrew Bird, for one. The competitive whistling champ, Emily Egan, for another. Last week, much to our surprise, we met another impressive whistler. TV on the Radio's Tunde Adebimpe. He stopped by the studio with his new group called Higgins Waterproof Black Magic Band, or Hiwablamaba for short. The band is getting its sea legs, playing a residency every Sunday in October at Union Pool in Brooklyn. Here's another live performance from their recent in-studio performance on Soundcheck. It's Tunde Adebimpe and the Higgins Waterproof Black Magic Band and a song called Mad Lifeline.
Thank you.
That's a bit of a live performance in our studio from the group Higgins Waterproof Black Magic Band. The song is called Mad Lifeline. And if you visit our website, soundcheck.org, you'll hear more and get to see a video of this live performance as well.
He dragged a hole across the sky, then he walked away. He dropped his body and his mind, then he walked away.
Tomorrow on the show, the Detroit indie pop band known as Dale Earnhardt Jr. Jr. joins us to play songs off their new album, The Speed of Things. And the New York City subway has inspired album covers from the Velvet Underground, Grandmaster Flash, Billy Joel, and many others. We'll talk with the curator of a new exhibit of subway-related album art at the New York Transit Museum in Brooklyn. Soundcheck is a production of WNYC. Irene Trudell leads our engineering team, with Paul Schneider, Bill O'Neill, Jason Isaac, and Rick Kwan. The show is produced by Katie Bishop and Mike Katziff, with Amy Pearl and our intern, Alex Martinez. Our executive producer is Joel Meyer. That's going to do it for the show today. Join us tomorrow. I'm John Schaefer. This is Soundcheck.